I must admit, both Adela and I had forgotten about Dr. Aziz's offer to take us on an outing to the caves. Until, that is, one evening she found herself staring at the Marabar Hills. They look romantic in certain lights and at suitable distances, and seen of an evening from the upper veranda of the club, they caused her to say conversationally to Miss Derrick,
"Such a shame, Miss Derrick. Hmm? I thought Dr. Aziz was going to take me on an expedition to Marabar Caves. Hmm. He promised he would, and now it seems to have slipped his mind. Indians do seem rather forgetful."
Miss Derrick was a spirited young Englishwoman who worked for a wealthy Maharaja and often stole their car for jaunts. She was easygoing with a sense of fun. But many of the English at Chandrapur resented her, considering her presence unseemly. Fielding was amongst the few who appreciated her good humour. A servant at the club, who understood English, overheard and reported the conversation back to his friends at Mahmud Ali's, who also overheard the conversation, and as the story travelled, it accreted emotion. Dr. Aziz learned with horror that we ladies were deeply offended with him and had expected an invitation daily. He immediately started making elaborate arrangements for the trip.
"I'm worried that you've taken on rather a lot, Aziz. Have you thought this through?"
"My honour is at stake."
"I don't think anyone would blame you if you..."
"No! I cannot back out now. The ladies have said yes and thanked me most graciously. It is most imperative that both you and Professor Godbole attend too."
"Yes, yes, I've said I'll come, and Professor Godbole has agreed too."
"Excellent. It's not a long expedition. Oh, thank you for getting Kalender to agree to half-day's leave. He outright refused me."
"It's the least I could do."
"Oh, I've had to borrow cutlery from Mahmud Ali without inviting him. Then there is the question of alcohol. Mr. Fielding, the ladies are drinkers, so I must provide whiskey sodas and..."
"We can all do without alcohol for the day."
"But I want this trip to be memorable and pleasant for them. Then there's the problem of transport from the wayside station of Marabar to the caves, and Professor Godbole and her food. And of Professor Godbole and other people's food, two problems, not one problem. The professor is not a very strict Hindu. She'll take tea, fruit, soda water and sweets, whoever cooks them, and vegetables and rice if cooked by a Brahmin, but not meat. Not cakes, lest they contain eggs. And she will not allow anyone else to eat beef. A slice of beef on a distant plate would wreck her happiness. Other people might eat mutton. They might eat ham. But over ham, my own religion raises its voice. I do not fancy other people eating ham."
"Good grief, man. Is this all really necessary?"
"My friends think me most unwise to mix with English ladies and have warned me that the English need nourishment every 2 hours and that I am to take every precaution against unpunctuality. Consequently, I have decided to spend the previous night at the station."
"Aziz, you're going to sleep on the station platform?"
"With the servants and all the necessary equipment. It is the only way."
"I'll meet you at the station with Professor Godbole. What is so special about these caves?"
"I don't know. You won't be late."
"Punctuality is one of the few good attributes of being an Englishman."
Very early the next morning, Dr. Aziz was anxious and unsettled.
"Chalo, utho sab log, jaldi jaldi. Everyone to your stations. Chalo, jaldi, utho. Karo kaam. Load the boxes. Abdul, kya kar raha hai yaar? Here, not there. Gone." "Oh, ladies, but you've come after all. Oh, how very, very kind of you. This is the happiest moment in all my life."
"Good morning, Dr. Aziz.
Very early start. It still looks dark."
"The cockerel has sounded, so it will be morning very soon."
"Thank you so much for organizing all
this. You've gone to so much trouble on our account."
"Nothing is too much trouble for you, dearest Mrs. Moore."
"Oh,
oh, you don't require tickets. Please stop your servant."
"Oh, Anthony. Anthony, you don't need to buy a ticket."
Our Goan servant, yes, Anthony, stood apart with a sneering expression on his face. We had hired him while we were still globetrotters at Bombay. In a hotel or among smart people, he was excellent. But as soon as we consorted with anyone whom he thought second-rate, he left us, to our disgrace.
"There are no tickets on the Marabar branch line. It is its peculiarity. You come to the carriage and rest till Mr. Fielding joins us. Did you know you are to travel in Parda?"
"Yes, thank you."
"Will you like that?"
"Very considerate.
Send back your servant. He is unnecessary. Then we shall all be Muslims together.
And he's such a horrible servant. Antony, you can go. We don't want you.
Master told me to come.
Mistress tells you to go.
Master says keep near the ladies all the morning.
Well, your ladies won't have you. Dr. Aziz, please.
I shall deal with him. Don't worry, Miss Quested.
Take my hand, Mrs. Moore. There you go. Miss Quested.
Thank you.
Please, make yourself comfortable while I go to pick up the other guests.
How long till we depart?
10 minutes.
They should be here by now.
Oh, they will arrive.
Dr. Aziz bribed Antony not to come. He walked up and down the platform and decided that he'd overdone the servants and must leave two or three behind at Marabar Station. Suddenly, the train jolted and, to our surprise, started up.
Oh, no! Dr. Aziz!
Don't worry, I'm fine. I can climb like a monkey. But, oh, Mr. Fielding! Professor Godbole, this is a catastrophe!
What is it?
They are held up at the level crossing gate. Oh. No!
The Brahmin lowered her eyes, ashamed of religion. For it was so. She had miscalculated the length of a prayer.
Bad! Bad! You have ruined me, Mr. Fielding! Jump on! I must have you. Give me your hand.
He's not true. He'll kill himself.
Come on, faster! Faster! Snap my hand! Just jump! Jump! Fielding!
I'm all right.
You're
all right.
Tom! Mrs. Moore, Miss Quested, our expedition is a ruin.
Get in. You'll kill yourself as well as Mr. Fielding. I see no ruin.
How is that? Oh, explain to me.
We shall all be Muslims together now, as you promised.
Dear Mrs. Moore.
Get in, Dr. Aziz. You make us giddy. If they're so foolish as to miss the train, that's their loss, not ours.
Yes.
I am to blame. I am the host.
Nonsense. Go to your carriage. We're going to have a delightful time without them.
It was obvious that Dr. Aziz was deeply upset and shaken by the absence of his friend Fielding, but there was nothing to be done. We were on our way. Lovely poached eggs.
What a nice, cheerful servant. What a relief after Antony.
They startle one, rather. A strange place to make tea in. Did you really cook these in the laboratory?
I want to sack Antony. His behaviour on the platform has decided me. We must get a second servant, because it's similar. You'll be at the hotel and I will need someone.
Well, very well. You get another servant and I'll keep Antony with me. I'm used to his unappetizing ways. He'll see me through the hot weather.
I don't believe in the hot weather. People like Major Callender, who always talk about it, it's in the hope of making one feel inexperienced and small, like their everlasting, I've been 20 years in this country.
I suppose your wedding in Simla will mean at least we'll all be comfortable. The climate there is meant to be lovely. By May, a barrier of fire will have fallen across India and the adjoining sea. And I will have to remain perched up in the Himalayas, waiting for the world to get cooler.
I'm sorry you'll be delayed returning to England, but I won't be bottled up. I've no patience with these women here who leave their husbands grilling in the plains. Mrs. McBride hasn't stopped down once since she married. She leaves her quite intelligent husband alone half the year, and then she's surprised she's out of touch with him.
It's the children who are her first consideration, until they're grown up and married off. When that happens, one has again the right to live for oneself, in the plains or the hills, as suits.
Oh, yes. You're perfectly right. Never thought it out.
If one has not become too stupid and old.
I had brought Ronnie and Adela together by their mutual wish, but really, I could not advise them further. I felt increasingly, vision or nightmare, that though people are important, the relations between them are not, and that in particular, too much fuss has been made over marriage. Centuries of carnal embracement. Yet man is no nearer to understanding man.
Can you see anything?
Only various shades of the dark.
Oh, I will fetch you from Simla when it's cool enough. I will unbottle you, in fact. We will then see some of the Mughal stuff. How appalling if we let you miss the Taj. Mm. And then I will see you off at Bombay. Your last glimpse of this country really shall be interesting. I'd not have missed this for anything. Look, the sun's rising. This will be absolutely magnificent.
Such an angry-looking sunrise, as if...
What I wanted to, but did not say, was as if even the sun in this country does not want us here.
Good morning, good morning. Put on your topies. The early sun is highly dangerous for heads. I speak as a doctor.
Good morning. Put on your own.
Not for my thick head.
Nice creature he is.
Dr. Aziz, what happened to your hills? The train has forgotten to stop. Oh, look. Oh, an elephant on the platform.
Oh, what a wonderful surprise. Oh, she's raised her trunk.
Isn't she beautiful? And her head all painted. Aziz said nothing, but he nearly burst with pride and relief. The elephant was the one grand feature of the picnic, and God alone knew what he'd gone through to obtain her.
We disembark here. Ladies, the train back is at 11:30, and you'll be sitting down to your tiffin in Chandrapur with Mr. Heslop at exactly your usual hour, namely 1:15. 4 hours, quite a small expedition. Mrs. Moore, or Miss Quested, you are at any moment to make alterations if you wish.
No, no.
Even if it means giving up the caves. Do you agree?
Yes, yes.
Then let us mount this wild animal.
The elephant had knelt, grey and isolated, like another hill. We climbed up the ladder, and Dr. Aziz mounted shikar fashion, treading first on the sharp edge of the heel and then into the looped-up tail.
Slowly, Mrs. Moore. Mm-hmm. No rush.
Oh, it's wonderful up here.
Rather steep, isn't it?
Come on.
As the elephant moved towards the hills, a new quality occurred. A spiritual silence which invaded more senses than the ear. The elephant walked straight at the Kawa doll, as if she would knock for admission with her forehead, then swerved and followed a path round its base. The stones plunged straight into the earth like cliffs into the sea, and the plain quietly disappeared, peeled off, so to speak, and nothing was to be seen on either side but the granite, very dead and quiet.
I don't know whether you happen to have heard, but I'm going to marry Mr. Heslop.
Oh, my heartiest congratulations.
Mrs. Moore, may I put our difficulty to Dr. Aziz?
Not my difficulty, dear. It's yours.
Quite. The English women here are so snobby and ungenerous about Indians. How can I avoid becoming like them?
You are absolutely unlike the others, I assure you. You will never be rude to my people.
I'm told we all get rude after a year.
That you are told a lie. Now, come along, ladies. Let us go and investigate these caves.